The Todd Cast Podcast on toddhancock.ca.
Well, thank you for taking the time again to join us here at the Todd Cast in Vancouver. Of course, as you mentioned, you guys are on tour. You're playing the Chan Center tomorrow night. We're all excited to have you back in Vancouver.
Oh, we're excited too. Vancouver is one of our favorite cities, and every time that we come back, it's so funny. We always get surprised that we're asked back, you know, because a lot of our friends, you know, have a hard time, you know, getting to Vancouver. I'm like, I don't know. We've been there a bunch of times. I don't know. They keep asking us back, so we keep saying yes.
Yeah, of course.
It's just a true testament to the rock fans here. So
yeah, well, we're looking forward to it. Of course, thank you for being a guest. You're always just so generous with your time. This is the third time you've been on the podcast, and I kind of wanted to do something different with you, kind of out of the ordinary for this visit. And every single question is a Hailstorm fan question. Not that I'm not a fan.
Oh, my God. Of course, awesome.
When I ask questions, it's coming from the point of a view of a fan as well. But these are none of my questions. These are all fan questions. Mike says, hey, I love the video for Vicious. Do you like making videos, and which Hailstorm video is your favorite?
Wow. Well, first of all, I do. I love making videos probably more so than all of my guys in the band combined. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that I kind of grew up a music video junkie. So when we were able to actually make our first music videos, and it's still so exciting, and it kind of puts me, I try to, you know, pick things that put me a little out of my comfort zone so that I can learn new things as I do. One of my favorite ones, besides the Vicious video, that's my new favorite, but one of my all-time favorite ones was Familiar Taste of Poison. That was a two-day shoot.
Really?
Instead of a one-day. Usually it's like a 14-hour-day shoot, you know, is usually how we roll with that. But Familiar Taste of Poison was 2 days because we had to rent out this mansion, and they had to get it ready and all that. But for most of the underwater scene, I was in a pool, but for a lot of it, I was literally in a fountain, freezing, cold for most of that. So to me, it's like, yeah, you either act dead or drowning or dying, or, you know, I got to experience a body bag there too. So
yeah. Is that not fun, right? Yeah. Corey says, hey, are you excited for Avengers Endgame? And which Avenger is your favorite?
Oh my gosh, I can't even pick that. I don't think I can name one, and I'm going to disappoint a lot of my super fans. But I just don't keep up with it.
Fair enough.
And I've never been a comic book nerd, so I'm not even going to pretend to know what I'm talking about.
All right.
One of those things, I'm going to have to take some fans' advice. So I'm going to turn it back on you. And
well, it's got to be the Hulk.
And all of our pandemonium.
Yeah.
I'm going to let all of you guys pick what Avenger I would be. I don't know.
This is an interesting question from Amy. Do you believe that aliens have visited Earth?
Have you met my little brother?
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know what? That would be the only explanation for having the sibling that I do. In my personal opinion, I would like to err on the side of yes, that there's definitely stuff going on, because, you know, I don't know. I don't have any proof that there isn't, and it makes more sense that there would be something out there.
Surely we can't be the only beings, you know, this is a big universe.
I think way too much about this stuff too. Just in passing, like, we'll be like walking around town, some strange town, I'll turn to like my guitar player Joe, like, you know what? What if we're just, you know, we're like the sea monkeys, man, that like somebody got a packet of us and they're growing us in some aquarium and they're just watching us. They're just watching us do our thing. And we think that we're the biggest thing on earth, but like, we're totally not. We're just entertainment for somebody else. So yeah, I don't know.
Oh man. Jeremy, 50 Cent or Kanye West? Do you listen to either of those guys?
I do. Well, here's the thing. So, like, with 50 Cent, you know, he had some hits when I was a teenager.
Right,
so
and the club was big.
So some of those songs, when it comes on, it's like, okay, I know all the words because it was on the radio at the time that I was, like, really obsessed with, you know, the radio. And so, so I don't know. I might have to just go with 50 Cent at that point, just for nostalgia reasons.
Okay. Okay.
Although some of Kanye's records, though, man, that's, you can't deny that stuff. So.
Well, I mean, the first one that he did where he had his mouth was all wired shut and through the wire, I think, was the first big song that he came out with, or one of the first.
Huge song. I think so, too. Huge, and just then the stuff with 50 Cent, like what he had to go through and endure in his life,
right,
and still
shot and
came out on top. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So it's amazing to me.
And you know, interesting thing, Lizzie, is that he's made more money through his water company or whatever it is than he's ever made in music, and he was one of the biggest in the genre. Like what?
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Like,
you know, you're not the first person to tell me that. Though somebody just brought that up to me, and I'm like, what? That's amazing.
Yeah. Harmon, what did you think of the Motley Crue movie?
Oh, you know what? To be completely honest, I loved it. I really did. But for personal reasons, because I thought that MGK did such a great job as mm-hmm. Tommy Lee.
He really did.
And I swear to God, Todd, that first scene that he came in with his sister's pants on.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, my little brother did that to me all the time. He'd raid my closet for stage clothes. And then I wouldn't know until we're both out on stage and I turn around, you know, little bro, my drummer, and I'm like, are those my pants? Are you wearing my pants? And he would just kind of shrug and he said the same thing. Right. Like, hey, they look better on me.
Better on me.
So from that moment on, I was sold.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, big fan of just the band growing up as a kid too, right? I mean, how could you not love, as a rock person, how could you not love Motley Crue?
Oh, absolutely. Especially Nikki Sixx is an amazing bass player, and he really, I mean, the spearhead of that whole thing. And
right.
And it's funny, my dad is a huge Nikki Sixx fan, and so he introduced me to that when I was a kid. And
right.
And it was one of those things where, like, whoa, like, freaking the bass player looks like the front man, basically.
Yeah, totally.
Because, like, up until that time, it's like, it's a lot of subdued, you know, the bass players are in the back kind of thing. But, yeah.
Right.
He's got right. his own thing going on. And he's still doing it. It's great.
Yeah, they're crushing it with the 6 a.m. and all that. Paul wants to know, Twitter or Facebook, and is it really you answering?
Twitter... over Facebook, because okay. there's actually, it's funny, if of all three, Instagram is the most friendly,
right.
just as far as demographic wise. Twitter is slow behind that. Facebook, you just get a bunch of crazy people on there. But yes, for the second part of his question, yes, it is all me.
Mm-hmm.
My team of people ask me every year, they're like, yeah, we can take over this if you want. I'm like, no, because as soon as I start making... having people take over my personals, that's just, I think yeah. that's the beginning of the downhill and me losing touch with a lot of things. So
yeah,
it's
totally
fun
agree.
For me. And
yeah.
so I like sneaking in.
Cool. Shane says, hey, I read an interview with Joe on Blabbermouth and he talks about a special package for your 10th anniversary of the debut. What do you guys have planned?
Yeah. Well, he, I think specifically was talking about, his package.
Right. Right. Okay.
But yeah, just so you, but no, we want to do something. We're planning on just a couple things that we're going to end up kind of sneaking out. There's some things that maybe nobody has seen before.
Cool.
Including Joe's special package, but
right. not that you know of.
You know, on a 4x10, it's fine. But yeah, no, to me, it's interesting because it's been 10 years since that first record came out. And
right.
so, and we have so
crazy,
much
right?
that we didn't release, including some stuff that's literally like my parents' basement recordings.
Wow.
And, you know, the
wow.
first snippets of things. So we've been literally combing through all this stuff to try to find, something, you know, that we really want to put out there
that you're okay with putting out there.
All of the stuff, yeah.
Right, right, right.
Well, yeah, well, there's that aspect too. The things that we're okay with putting out there, but also it's just so much stuff. When you're compiling to make your first record on a major label, it's, I mean, I'm going back to like Tascam cassette tapes from my recordings,
wow.
you know, in my dad's, you know, garage. So it's just it's one of those things where it's like, okay, there's so much here that I want to put out, but then there's this limited amount of space too that we're able to do that. So, but you know, hey, in a couple of years, it'll be 25 years since the beginning of Hailstorm. Wow. So, you know, just put out all the stuff. So I've got to start now.
That's crazy. Chelsea has an interesting question. Where were you when you found out that Chris Cornell had died?
Oh my goodness. Where were we? I think we found out in the middle of a show is what I remember, but I can't remember where we were. Mm. But it was like right near the end of our show. And so it kind of just turned.
How would you get that news?
It was shortly after.
Oh, okay.
It was shortly after, because I remember everybody being kind of like on a high after, you know, you finish a rock show, and then slowly but surely everybody started learning that he had passed. And at first we thought it was a joke. I mean, not a joke, but
yeah,
we just thought, okay,
can't
this
be
is
true.
Misinformation.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Because especially since we had, you know, some friends out on, you know, on tour with them at the time, the Pretty Reckless, and they've been talking about how much fun everybody's having, and like it's a dream come true for them to be on tour with, you know, with Chris and everybody. And so the fact that I immediately, you know, ended up, you know, talking to Taylor Momsen, like, what happened? She's like, I can't even compute this right now. This is not even something I'm able to discuss. It's crazy. You know what's amazing? So then for the next couple days, we listened to Soundgarden pretty much straight through. And after somebody passes, it's really uncanny how you listen to their lyrics differently, and you listen all the stories of the songs differently, you know. And it's just it's crazy how it's a lesson too. With, you know, it doesn't matter if you're on the top of the world. Doesn't matter if you have money. Doesn't matter if you're a rock star. Doesn't matter. And you know, that stuff. You know, that darkness can still creep in, and there's always a vice around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's so true. With the lyrics and all that, Chester Bennington as well. You know, these wounds will not heal. You know, now that you have the hindsight to look back, like basically laying it right out in a song how he was hurting and how he needed someone to be there for him. And
absolutely, and it's their truth. You know, it wasn't just because, oh, we're going to be angsty because it's trendy right now. No, he was in some real pain.
Right.
But Chester Bennington confused me too, because I had just, you know, heard him sing at Chris's funeral, and he was so distraught over Chris. You think that those people, they're so close to it that they can see, you know, they can see the edge, and they can see not to step off of it. You know, but then again, like I said, you add some substances in and your brain doesn't think in the same way that it should, and doesn't think logically. And it's hard. And just in those few moments, you can lose somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Switch gears here real quick to Gail. She goes, you've traveled the world with Hailstorm. Has anywhere surprised you, good or bad?
When we played in, the first time we ever played Prague, it was this tiny club. The PA system wasn't that great. The stage was tiny. We kind of walked in thinking, I don't know, man, like, we've never played Prague, but like, I don't know how this is going to be. And it was one of the most absolute high energy punk rock shows.
Nice.
That I think we've ever played, you know, same thing. Fast forward a little bit. We played Paris, shortly after the Bataclan attack. And
right.
we were expecting, I don't know what we were expecting, but we weren't expecting it to be so incredibly joyful and triumphant. I think we were expecting everything to be a little bit more subdued, maybe less people come out to the show, you know, because not that it would really happen at that, you know, place again, but one of those things where, you know, people were being cautious about going out to the shows.
Right.
And we have video of the crowd was moving so hard that the soundboard was shaking.
Come on.
Back and forth.
Wow.
And so we have video of that happening. We're like, okay, obviously these kids are not afraid to come out to the rock show.
Wow.
It's great. So yeah, like little moments like that happen every so often. Like you're just not quite sure what to expect, and then everybody just proves you wrong.
Yeah, that's cool. Clint says, is there a person that you've met that has made you geek out?
Oh, absolutely. Really, all of my idols. Let's see. First one really was Tom Kiefer from Cinderella, the first time that we met. I had to talk to him on the phone before we met, which was even more nerve-wracking.
Right. And how cool is it that he's still doing stuff, too, right? Like, how cool is that?
Oh, dude, yeah. He's still bringing the house down. His voice sounds great.
He's awesome.
But yeah, the first time we ever talked, I didn't know he knew who I was, and we were planning on playing a fair gig together, like down the road. And so I was kind of like nervous about that, but I'm like, oh, we have months to go. And, apparently his guitar player and my guitar player were in cahoots because they had met a guitar player at Guitar Center. And then, he ends up giving Tom Kiefer my number. And so, we're in Alaska, of all places, playing a show, and my guitar player comes up. He's like, yeah, Tom Kiefer's going to call you in 5 minutes, so just in case you got to, like,
okay,
prepare yourself. I'm like,
right.
I'm like, what? Excuse me? So long story short, now we're really good friends. I hang out with him and his wife and his kid and all that stuff. We all live in Nashville. But, man, stepping on stage with that guy, he's the only one that can out stare me in a staring contest on stage. It was just incredible because, like, you're just like, okay, this is the guy that, like, this is the reason I sing the way I do. This is the reason I play guitar now, you know? This is crazy. So between Tom and then when I met Joan Jett, I was a little at a loss for words. I had a facepalm moment because I'm like, all right, I'm just going to, like, I'm cool, right? I can hang out. So I'm hanging out. And all I could think to say to her, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, it's really hot out. Like, I'm talking about the weather.
Right.
Like, what am I doing? So luckily later on, you know, after we broke the ice, everything was cool. But like, that was like the first thing I said to her. I'm like, what am I doing?
Love it.
But she watched our set and it was awesome.
Yeah. Do I have you for a few more minutes? I'm not even sure how long I've got you for.
Oh yeah, you're fine.
Okay. Alicia wants to know, do you believe in soulmates?
Yes, I do. And I'll tell you, I kind of have proof of that because I have, I've been around the world, not only with my little brother, but with these other two guys in my
right.
band, you know, Joe and Josh. We've been a four piece for 16 years now. We've been living 2 feet from each other, you know, smelled each other's socks, you know, this whole thing. And for some weird reason, there's still this magic that happens on stage, and they're still my best buds, and they're still the people that I would go to for anything. So that's the reason that I believe in that. So yeah.
Zach, do you like to gamble?
I do. But I'm one of those people that, like, I'll have a chunk of, like, money that I'm willing to lose.
Right. That's the best way to do it.
And I only use that.
The only way to do it.
That's as far as, like, but I like roulette. Roulette is my jam.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's easy, and you can play it all night whether or not your brain is working or not.
This one made me literally laugh out loud. Scott goes, do you still do your own laundry? Like, what?
Yes, I do. And I really like it, actually. Especially when we go home, you have no idea. Like, part of my biggest joy is doing dishes and doing laundry because I never get to do that on the road. Still washing all my clothes.
Hey Todd, can you cut it to two more?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Great thing.
Let me see here. I want to get this one in for sure. Which famous person? This is from Joel. Which famous person do people tell you that you look like, and who would play you in a movie about your life?
Oh man, it's actually the same person. I don't see it. I think it's because it's me and I look at myself in the mirror all the time and I just don't see it. But Mila Jovovich, I've gotten a lot lately. Maybe I don't know why, maybe it's the hair. But I guess that would be one and the same.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
Sure. Yeah. She's a badass. Make me look good.
And this is always a tough one. I never know what to say when people ask me when I've been asked. Justine asks, if you found the genie lamp, what are the three wishes?
Oh, my gosh. This is a terrible question.
Right? I know. It's like, what?
I don't mean that. But, man. Man, that's really tough. First two are going to go to my mom and my dad.
Oh, nice.
First one is for my mom, because she goes through these phases and she doesn't really know what she wants. But I hope that maybe she could have another house somewhere, preferably where she can go on vacation a little bit too. For my dad, I would get him a motorcycle, because right now he has a trike and it's just not cool. He's got to go back to two wheels. And the last one would be for me. I would like to be impervious of getting tired on the road. Oh, that would be great.
Nice. Lizzie, I love you. Thank you so much for taking the time again. I love your band. Looking forward to tomorrow night, the Chan Center in Vancouver, April 26. Have a great show, and I guess we'll see you at the show, and we'll see you online.
Oh, absolutely, Darren. Thanks for taking the time and yapping with me about all sorts of weird stuff.
Subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.